Matthew chapter 6. In verse 9, the Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word, Lord, I pray that you would just move me out of the way. Lord, I pray that you would just to preach through me. And Lord, I pray that you would be lifted up in this. In your name, amen. Today in America, we have lost a respect for God. It's not there anymore. What used to be a reverence towards God, it's just flippant. People used to have a respect when they would say God's name, that when they said it, they meant it as in referring to Him. Now, God is mentioned as the man upstairs or the big guy up in the sky, and there's no reference there. It used to be that when they were writing out the Bible, when they got to the point of copying down the scriptures and they'd get to the point where God's name was there, they'd go, they'd wash themselves, they'd get the new quill out, they'd come back, they would write it, and they'd throw that quill away. Because they felt that God's name, just the mere mention of His name, was so precious and so important that nothing else should be written with that quill. It was that important to them. And now we have people that use God's name in vain all over the place. You can't read Facebook without somebody replying, OMG. And there's no reverence anymore. We've lost the respect for God. Job chapter 1 verse 1 says, "There is a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil." He feared God. He had a respect for Him. It wasn't a fear as in the sense of that he was scared, but he feared God. And I ask just a simple question. Do you fear God? The mere mention of His name, what do you think? When you hear the word God, is it just slang? Something to be tossed around and used whenever you want? Or is there a reverence there? Do we just use it in vain and just say God's name whenever we feel like it as a form of an expression? God's name is so holy, it should never be used as a form of expression because you're referring back to God Almighty. But people don't care anymore. We have gotten so soft and so just laid back in our attitude towards God that it's just not a big deal. It used to be that you couldn't even say it on television or in the movies or anything else, and now it's all over the place. You can hardly watch even a commercial now without somebody using God's name in vain. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When Jesus was here saying, this is the model prayer that you should pray, this is the outline, so to speak, of your prayer, the first thing that he started off with is, have some reverence for God. Take some time and spend it telling God how wonderful He is because He is the Almighty God, because His name is hallowed and holy above everything else. But now it doesn't matter. Job was the man that feared God. Now we treat God as a safety net for us to run to and expect that He's supposed to be there handing things out like our government hands things out. Just to anybody who wants it. And then we get upset when we don't get our way or we think that something's not at our approval. David, he wrote in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, he says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him?" He said, who am I in comparison to God? I'm unworthy. I'm just a man. And I look up in the skies and I see this beautiful creation and I see how wonderful it is, and to think that God Almighty created that in 6 literal days just by speaking it, the power that He has. Who am I? We have elevated ourselves above God in society today. Where we think that we are above Him and He is at our disposal to do as we feel and what we want, rather than Him being the Almighty God that has created everything, and He is the one that should be reverenced and He is the one that should be adored, and whatever He wants, that's what we should be happy about. Exodus chapter 20 verse 6 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." We really have lost the idea of who God is in our churches today. I'm going to talk a little bit, and this is not a bombastic sermon. This is a sermon that is difficult for me because I like the more energetic type of stuff. I like to, you know, have a little bit of humor. I like to have the little jokes just to liven it up a little bit. I like to, you know, use illustrations and all that. But tonight, it's going to be a lot of scripture. And you have to listen on purpose. But we have lost it also the sense of studying the Word of God. Think about this. When is the last time that you got a topic in the Bible that you studied? That you opened it up and you said, "I'm going to study and find out all the things about this." When's the last time that you had the idea, "I'm going to study about God, the name of God. I'm going to study everything that there is about God in the Bible. I'm going to go through and I'm going to find what He thinks, what He feels, how He acts. I'm going to find out what attributes that He has and really dive into it." But we don't do that anymore. Now we're consumed with speed reading. Get our chapter in. And I'm all for reading the Bible in a year. And I think if somebody can go cover to cover in a year and read the entire Bible, that's wonderful. But we get so consumed with just, if we read it all. A lot of people don't even pick up their Bible except for when they come to church on Sunday. And then when somebody says, "Open your Bibles and turn to Zephaniah," everyone's looking at the very beginning of the Bible trying to figure out where Zephaniah is at because they have no idea. Why? Because we've lost the idea of studying our Bible. Of picking it up and actually looking at it throughout the week and studying the Word of God. If I was you and I did not know the books of the Bible in order, that's something I would study. I would work at that. I would memorize it. I would do what I can because then I could say, "Hey, I know right where I'm going." Not for a prideful thing, but because I want to know the book. If God gave me this and said, this is what I want you to have, it's my responsibility to know it and to study it and to understand it. I'm not supposed to just wait until Sunday and say, all right, I'm going to pull up once a week to the gas station and then let the attendant fill me up so I can go on my merry way and sit in the seat and say, okay, preacher, give me what you got. This is your chance. Because this is the only chance that I'm going to have to any type of the Word of God throughout the week. And then we wonder why we struggle with so many different things in our lives. And it's because we've lost the simple fact of studying the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. But we don't do that anymore. Now, of course, we will never fully understand everything that there is about God. There's no way. One of the things about God and His attributes is the simple fact that He is too great for us to understand. He is infinite. We are finite. We have locks on our brains that we cannot fully understand certain things. We cannot understand the concept of eternity. We're time-based people. We're structured out. At 7:30, we know church is going to start. We're structured that way. We have our hours, our minutes, our seconds. And if you get into sports, then you get into even deeper into that, the milliseconds and all that, and stopping the clock at 0.3 or whatever of a second. We're structured so much with it. We can't fathom the idea of eternity. Think of the biggest number that you can. And that doesn't even scratch the surface of what it is. But we can't grasp that because God is too great for us. We cannot fully comprehend Him. And I'm glad about that. Because if I could understand all that there is to God, He wouldn't be that much of a God. But we should at least try to read about Him and understand Him exactly what the Bible's referencing when it says, our Father, Jehovah God. God, the names of God, it points to God as being strong and mighty, able to judge and to strike fear. God's name refers to being elevated and exalted, a powerful ruler. We don't think that, though, when we think of God. Now we think, oh, He's just a loving God. God, oh, we're in the state of grace. Everything is just expunged, whatever we do. It's okay. God, one of God's attributes is His forgiveness, and God will just forgive me for whatever I do. And we don't think about the wrath of God because we don't see it as clearly as in the Old Testament when they would murmur and dispute and God would send vipers and snakes and say, have your way with them. Fine, you want to act like that? Wander in the wilderness for 40 years and see where you're at after that. But we don't see that side of God. And so we think that God's changed and that He's different in that it's okay. But God hasn't changed. One of the attributes of God is that He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. The things that bothered God in the Old Testament still bother God today. But because of what we think and our attitude towards God, we think that it's not a big deal. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." But we don't think of God as holy anymore. We think of God as the person that wants to come down and be amongst the sinners. Be one of everybody, like everybody else. And we dumb it down just a little bit because in the New Testament, yes, Jesus did come to the publicans and sinners, but He went to them with the idea that He was there to change them. Not to go and just be a relaxed God. God is holy. Out of all of the attributes of God, holiness is the only one that is elevated to the third degree. And what I mean in that sense is this. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 and 3, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory." We're talking about these angels that are up in heaven, and they have such a reverence for God and such an admiration, and they say, you know what, God is so holy, I'm going to cover my face as I fly above Him. I'm not even going to look at Him because of how holy He is. I don't even deserve to look at the face of God. We know the story of Moses on how Moses wanted to see God. And God's response back to him was that you cannot see me because if you were to look at my face, you'll die. And so he put him in the cleft of the rock and covered him up. And as he passed by, he lifted and took his hand away. And God is so holy that just seeing the back of his head, Moses' face glowed. And the Bible says that his face glowed. And when he went down to the people, it stayed that way. And he had to put a veil over his face to cover it because it scared the people because of God being so holy and wonderful and powerful that it had that much of an effect on Moses. And he would lift the veil when he'd go back into the tabernacle and speak with God face to face. Why? Because of the holiness of God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." God is constantly surrounded with praise and admiration. And those angels and the beasts understand that God is so holy, they don't even want to look upon Him. And yet we reference Him as the big man upstairs. Something's wrong. It just doesn't sit right. When we read the Bible and we read how the people would respond to the holiness of God, and then we see today's society, it doesn't add up. Why? Because we've lost our respect and our reverence for God. Of all the attributes that God has, just to name a few, His goodness, His grace is immutable, of course. Like I said, He cannot change. He is infinite where we are finite. God is a God of love. He is omnipotent, omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is righteous. And of course, He has His wrath. He's omnipotent. The power of God. It amazes me all the things that I read in the Old Testament and the New Testament of the power of God. And yet, we've lost respect for such a powerful God. A God that knows everything. And even though He knows our thoughts afar off, I wonder how much it hurts Him and grieves Him because we have forsaken the idea of who God is. Jeremiah chapter 10 verses 18 through 20 says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt." When I was reading this, boy, I was just grieved. Think about this, as I read this. God is saying, woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. They have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper and all their flocks shall be scattered. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, this is a grief and I must bear it. Why? They don't seek the Lord anymore. There's no desire to know God as He is, to seek Him out as Moses did, to have the desire to see God, to be in His presence. How long has it been since we sought out the Lord? I love when my son comes over, and he did it just the other day. He'll come over and he'll sit down and say, "Hey, Dad, how are you doing? You feeling okay?" "Yeah, I'm doing good." "Okay. What do you need, Marcus?" "Nothing. I just want to be with you." Boy, as a dad, you're like, yes. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that my son wants to be around me, not because of a handout of what I can give him as a father. Not because he is scared, because he's coming to me saying, "Dad, I have to show you something. Something that I did, I broke something." No, it's none of that. He's not asking for candy or for food or for some new toy or to play with the iPad or to watch TV or anything. Nope. "Dad, I just want to be with you." My son Blake, he's at the stage. When I leave for work, he cries and throws a fit because he doesn't want me to go. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could just stay. God's our Father. The Bible talks about wherein we cry, "Abba, Father." That word "Abba" is a term of endearment. Some people would say it's like saying "daddy," or however term of endearment that you'd have for your father to express how much love and admiration that you have for him. Do we have that desire for God? Or we just say, "God, I'm going to spend some time in prayer, not because I need anything, not because I need to ask for forgiveness of my sins. I just want to pray and talk with you for a little bit. Hallowed be thy name. I want to talk about how good you are, your goodness. I'm so grateful for it. I don't deserve it. And I just want to talk about your grace and your mercy that you've extended to me. I'm a sinner. I'm but dust. And you're the Almighty God that created this world. I don't deserve your mercy. I deserve hell." When's the last time we just sat and talked with Him without asking, "God, I want, I need, or I'm sorry, but just to be around Him. We don't seek the Lord, though. Psalm 35, verse 13 says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returneth into my own bosom." Why? Because it is prayer and fasting. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. I wanted to seek out God. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 through 21 says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief." If you read in that chapter, they had a demon that they tried to get out of this person, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus came and finally did it and rebuked them. And they asked why we couldn't do it. And Jesus responded back to them and said, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Here it is, though. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Luke 2, verse 37 says, "And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." 1 Corinthians 7, 5 says, "Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer." Fasting and prayer. When we fast, we say, "God, I'm giving this up. And I'm just going to spend that time with you in prayer." We're showing God we mean business. "God, I want to seek your face, and I want it so bad, I'm giving this up." But now we just fill our bellies up. We have everything that we need. Think of the verse let me get over there real quick. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 and 50. It says that, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." And she's saying, the iniquity of thy sister Sodom was pride, an elevated opinion of yourself. Boy, doesn't that sound familiar? Just like I said, we have elevated ourselves above God because of our pride. The fullness of bread was, I mean, they had everything that they needed. They felt like there's no point to God. Why? Because to them, all God was somebody to supply their needs. If their needs were met, they didn't need God. Fullness of bread. What do we have in America? Everything that we need. 2 cars. A nice house. Plenty of food. Well, our restaurants throw away more food than countries see in a week. Whole countries. And they just throw it away and discard it. Why? Because we have everything that we need. We can. We have that luxury here. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. The idleness, it's not idle as in idol worshiping. It's I-D-L-E. That's the word of basically laziness. They didn't do anything. What happened? They got fat and lazy. That's what it was. They got full of themselves and they got fat and lazy and they lost all respect for God. So what happened? God said, "So I took them away as I saw good." They lost all respect for God. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." When is the last time that we spent all night in prayer to God? Jehovah God, the Almighty God, that is there for us. And when's the last time we took some time out and said, "All right, God, I'm giving this up and I'm going to be with you. I'm giving up my sleep, my precious sleep." Why? Because you're more important. We have a backwards opinion of what God's purpose is. We think that God is there to supply our needs, and He does. Don't get me wrong. The Bible talks about it. If you need something, you can go to God in prayer. That is part of our rights as a Christian, that we can go to God in prayer. But that's not the only thing that God is there for. And instead, we think that if God doesn't do what we want, then He's not a just God. Because He didn't answer my prayer like I thought He should. Psalm 86, verse 10 through 12 says, "For Thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Lord." Instead, we want to walk our way. We want it done our way. And they sing that song, I did it my way. And that's the philosophy that we have now. Hey, what does Burger King say? Hey, have it your way. You want it done however you want, you go right ahead. And instead, in Psalms 86, he says in verse 11, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord." God, I don't want my way. Why? Because I'm corrupt. Even Paul said, "I'm the chiefest of sinners. My heart is wicked. It's desperately wicked. I can't walk my way. I can't do it how I think it should be done. I've got to find out what God's way is and do it." He says, "I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name." We'll read that again. "For Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore." Luke chapter 5, verse 25 says, "And immediately he rose up before him and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God." Just praising God. Luke 18, verse 43, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when he saw it, gave praise unto God." John 21, verse 19, "This spake he, signifying what by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." John chapter 21, what's he saying? He was telling him about the manner in which he was going to die. And in that he said, by what death he should glorify God. Even in his death, something horrible that we would think of. And he's saying, God's going to get the glory. Why? Because that's how God is. He deserves all the glory. And instead, we want to keep it for ourselves. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." But do we? With our body, with the things that we do, our actions, do we glorify God? Or are we looking to glorify ourselves? So I was thinking of Brother Ortez when he's talking about how singing and how he keeps his eyes down. Why? Because he doesn't want the glory. He doesn't want the glory. Why? Because the glory belongs to God. It's His. It's not ours to take. It's His. Psalm 18, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? So shall I be saved from my enemies. Job chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Wait a minute. Job, you just lost all your possessions. That doesn't make any sense. You went from being the greatest man in the East to losing it all in a matter of seconds. When you read that passage of Scripture, it says when his servants were telling him what was going on, it says, and while he was yet speaking, what does that mean? They all came at once telling him what was going on. Everybody was trying to get their way in and say, hey, this is what happened. They're all talking all at once. While he was yet speaking, another servant came. While he was yet speaking, another servant came. And then finally that last one came and said, hey, I was at your oldest son's house and all your children were there, your seven sons, your three daughters. The corner or the wind came, smote the corners of the house and it fell down and they're all dead. And I alone have escaped. Job just finds out that he lost all of his wealth and now all of his children have died. All 10 of them. All at once. And he fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job chapter 2 verse 10 says, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. He said, I'm not going to praise God just because everything's going good. I'm going to praise God no matter what. Why? Because God is worthy to be praised. And regardless of what it is, whether it be the death like Peter, God gets the glory. Whether it be that Job loses all of his wealth and his children all die, what happened at the end? God got the glory. Why? Because that's who He is. He is worthy to be praised. But instead, we want to take the praise, pocket it a little bit, and then give some back to God. We want to get something from, hey, you did a great job singing. Oh yeah, thank you. I want to hear that some more. Wait a minute, God gave us the voice. God gave us the air to breathe. God gave us everything that we have. It all belongs to Him. And when we elevate ourselves above Him, we become as Sodom did. Where we feel like there's no need for God. We lose all respect for Him. And He just becomes the big guy in the sky. The man upstairs. But then all something happens. God, why did you allow this to happen? That's not fair. Yeah, it is. Because if we do it right, regardless of the situation, God can get the glory. Because it's all about Him, not about us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would search You and know You. Lord, that we would seek after You. Lord, that we would have the right type of respect for You and reverence because You're Jehovah God. You are the Almighty and we're nothing but dust. Lord, I pray that as a church here at Heritage Baptist Church that we get on our knees and spend some time in prayer with You. We praise you and worship you as you deserve to be praised and worshiped. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Real quick before we end, we always want to make sure. If you're not here, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Tonight you can get that squared away and settled. If that's you and say, you know what, I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know. If you just lift your hand, I'd like to pray for you. All right? Lord, as we are ready to go our separate ways, help us to remember why we're on this earth. You've placed us here so that we can praise you, worship you, and glorify you. Help us to remember that, Lord, as we go about our lives. In your name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.